The father has an essential role in exhorting, admonishing, correcting, and counseling the behavior of the child. Dads, if you're working 8 hours a week, that's hard to do. If you're constantly gone and not around pursuing whatever it is, and I know there's some situations that are really tough. I want to give grace to that as well. But the reality is, this is one of the most important roles we have in life. And anything that's getting in the way of that, we have to look at our lives and say, is it worth it?
Finally, friends, we have made it to part four, the final section of our message to parents and children in our series, Unless the Lord Builds the House. Hey, here on Living the Light, this series has been all about God's design for the home, and this part is specifically focused on God's blessing in regards to children. Hey, parents, no matter if you have children still at home or not, there will be something here to learn. And it goes without saying, every single one of you listening is a child of someone. Today, we are talking about honoring your parents, which, yes, looks a little different in every phase of life. We're talking about this stuff because the Bible talks about it. And here on Live in the Light, it's our mission to see transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. Again, this message to parents and children is part four. So if you need a review or if you missed the first few messages, you can go back anytime and listen on our website at liveinthelight.ca or wherever you download your podcasts. Let's get right into it today. God's word and God's truth has us back in Ephesians chapter 6. Here's Pastor Robbie.
Harmed us to pray for those who are against us, pray for those who have wounded us, to pray for them. Thirdly, to have compassion for them. The idea of trying to understand maybe where they came from and the hurts that they had and maybe the situations that they experienced that resulted in them inflicting hurt on others. I don't know. We can honor them by refusing to disparage them, by refusing to speak ill of them. That's very, very important, I think, too. Listen. And this really applies. Like, even if your parents have passed away, you have the opportunity to honor them by refusing to speak ill of them, by refusing to disparage them. That's a powerful thing that the Lord really, really cares about as well. It is easy just to say things and make jokes and just to, in some ways, trash people long after they're gone. That does not please the Lord at all. And people are listening. People are listening. Kids and others and whatever. How do we honor them? Even here and even when they're gone. And ultimately, we can honor a passive, painful parent by looking at Jesus over them. Hebrews 12, fixing your eyes on Jesus as opposed to the whole situation. Look at Jesus and understanding again his glory and his goodness and his faithfulness and his grace and his love and his mercy. And listen, we will never stare in the face of Jesus Christ and feel let down, ever. We will never, ever stare in the face of Jesus Christ and feel let down. I just believe I was led this week to put that in for different people who are here right now that the Lord wants us to take seriously because, again, these commands come with a promise. I don't pretend it's easy. I know faith is involved here, but listen, you need to know the Lord sees and the Lord will honor those who honor. That's what this text is saying to us today. Now, as we move on a bit, let's not shy away from our motivation of honoring our parents in verse 3. In verse 3, notice it says, here's the promise, that it may go well with you and you may live long in the land. Now, the Bible makes it clear here to honor parents, okay? To honor parents will bring prosperity and long life in the Lord. You're reading the same Bible I am right now. Some people want to over-spiritualize this and try to make it say what it's not saying, but it's very, very clear right here. This is what the Bible is saying. Again, Paul repeating it by the Holy Spirit. We must not water this down. The honoring of parents brings the blessing of God. Full stop. In some form, in some way. This is a promise of God right here. Old Testament, verified in the New Testament here right now. This is a promise and a principle from God. This, of course, does not mean that all of us who honor our parents will live to 100 years old. Praise God for that. I don't want to live to 100 years old as far as I understand, okay? This doesn't mean there aren't exceptions to this rule. Of course, we know that, right? We're smart enough to understand that. But it does explicitly tell us how much this means to the Lord. That we will honor his design and seek to honor our parents again as we are able. Notice what this is speaking to in this promise. God is promising he will bless the quality of our life in some form and the quantity of our life in some form as well. It's pretty amazing. He's like, those who honor their parents and honor the Lord by honoring their parents, their quality of life will be blessed and their quantity of life will be blessed as well in some form and some way. Don't ask me to expand that any further. The power and honor in the Lord. There's a direct motivation for us to take this so seriously. I want to ask you right now as we go through these commands, they're simple, but they're also profound. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you right now? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you right now in terms of application and how he wants you to respond to what you are receiving from God's word right now? Trust me, I know families are messy, complicated. There's a lot there. But here's an opportunity to trust the Lord and his ways and to seek his blessing. And you know, it's true that in many situations, children have suffered in certain circumstances, again, in homes. But there's the other side of this, is that there's also just a lot of children, and I'm not talking about young children, I'm talking about adult children. You're just spoiled, selfish, and just honestly, you've been a brat. And you could be my age. And this is still the problem. Just been spoiled and selfish and self-concerned. And the Holy Spirit speaking to you, to us, about that today, right now. That we have forfeited God's blessing in some form, in some way, because we have refused to honor and to seek to love the parents in our lives as the Lord has led us to. So Holy Spirit, apply that right now to our lives as only you can. So we have three verses for children here, and now Paul turns specifically to fathers. To fathers, here's our third point. Fathers, number three, fathers, you are essential in raising your children. You are essential in raising your children. Look at verse 4 now. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So I will admit that I wanted to include parents in this point. It kind of makes sense, right? You just, well, of course, the parent, mom and dad are involved here, but that's not what the verse says. It's almost surprising. You just had to do a double take. It's interesting. Notice Paul uses the word parents in verse 1. So if he wanted to do that, he could have done that, but he didn't. And verse 4 specifically turns again to the fathers. Now, can we ever overstate the value of a mom? No, that is the correct answer, all the men in the room. No. Every child in the room, right? But more often than not, what we understand is the need is not ultimately with the mom. Rather, the power and the need is with the father. It's with the dad. By God's design. Listen carefully. This is what Josh Hawley says about fathers, dads, fatherhood. He says this: a man's family can be a garden in the wilderness, a place of safety, of flourishing, where there is order and predictability and hope for the future. He says this is not speculation, this is fact. Researchers have amply documented that families with involved and present fathers are the greatest vehicles for human advancement known to man. That's a pretty massive statement. Children with present fathers are twice as likely to graduate from college. In a similar vein, boys with fathers are less likely to engage in criminal behavior, and kids of both sexes are significantly less at risk of depression if dad is around. Fathers may be mocked by popular culture. They may be lampooned and derided. One recent study found that television sitcoms the last 20 years depicted fathers as fools or bores over half the time. But he says this, but the idea that fathers are irrelevant louts is truly fiction. The truth is that to be a father is to build a better world, and it is to build something that will last. The need for engaged fathers is immense because it is by God's design. Let's break verse 4 down this way on the screen beside me and behind me. Fathers, first of all, do not exasperate your children. Do not provoke your children to anger. Isn't it interesting here? I think I would expect the command to be reversed. Children, do not provoke your fathers to anger. Right? I think that makes sense, right? But notice what the Holy Spirit has written down here. Notice the emphasis is resting where it should be. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them. Why? Why? Listen, men. Fathers now. Father types, massive. Young men who want to be fathers one day, your impact of your words and your actions is massive. I've been continually amazed at the influence and impact of fathers upon their children, especially fathers and sons. The amount of issues of fathers and sons in this room right now is extraordinary. I've looked into this in various ways. I think there's so much. I'm amazed at God's design of the leadership of a man as he relates to his son and the impact of that. And I want to keep learning about it as well, because I think it has so many massive implications for our lives. And see, the dad, the man, has to see that. He has to recognize this biblically to bring urgency to his life, to his actions, to his words, to his heart, to his priorities. Saying these things out loud right now, man, you should be filled with an urgency and responsibility, and you want to get, again, active in your life to care about how you're being used in your leadership in one way or another. By God's design, the power of a father, listen, to powerfully build up or to devastatingly tear down. When fathers lash out in anger, when we lose our temper, when we abuse our strength, when we sinfully intimidate our children, when fathers cut their children down, insult them, demean them, the results are devastating. I've always found that one of the most powerful points of being a father or being a dad is when you mess up, because we all mess up. We all mess up. We say things, we do things, we're just jerks. One of the most powerful parts of being a dad is to humble yourself in the midst of your awareness of your sin, to return to your children and to say, Dad messed up. Dad sinned against you when he lost his temper, when he spoke unkindly, when he was not sensitive to where you were at. And I want you to forgive Dad because he has sinned against you and sinned against God. Most powerful moments in my parenting. But that's what leadership does, doesn't it? How many men are too proud to go remotely closely to such a thing? You know the impact of a child? The impact of a child when a dad humbles themselves before them in that way, to a 5-year-old, to an 8-year-old, to a 12-year-old, to an 18-year-old, to a 23-year-old, and just asks for grace and forgiveness of their child. Do you think your child will remember that one? Do you think that will mean something to them? Do you think that might override all the times I've encouraged whatever it is and all the whatever things you were doing in other superficial ways? Do you think they'll remember that? You better believe they will. And for some of us here today, that is exactly and precisely what the Holy Spirit is asking us to do, because that's what leadership does. And that's what makes a man, to humble themselves, to own their sin, to ask for grace and seek in God's grace and Holy Spirit to be better by his grace and by his Spirit. You know, when it comes to not exasperating your children or provoking them to anger, some of the best advice I got as a dad early on, there's a lady in our church who I respect so much, and she's been such a source of encouragement and prayer over so many years. I remember our four kids were young, and she said, Robbie, just always remember, break the will, not the spirit. To me, that was so profound. Hey, listen, dads, parents, dads, your child cannot run your house. Few things get me more upset when I see a 5-year-old running the house. I'm just like, really? There's a Canadian meat commercial going around right now. saw that in the last couple months, whatever it is, and basically it's labeling these 6 or 7 year olds. They label them on those commercials, master negotiators. Maybe you've seen that. And these kids are just basically spoiled brats. And they decide what they want to eat, when they want to eat, how they want to eat. Again, what they want to eat on every level. And so the advice from this meat company is, well, you give them this meat and they're going to like it. And therefore, then they'll calm down and stop being little master negotiators that are spoiled little brats. That, you know, I watched that commercial and I'm like, No, I'm just like, there's so many things wrong about that. That commercial is teaching our society that parents just really just give into the child whatever they want and they'll stop dictating their way around, but they are dictating the entire time and it's all about them. I'm just like, really? Like what is happening right now? And just like, no. You are not in charge. You are not in charge. Like, oh my goodness, parents, this is important right now, okay? And so again, but for me, it's like, okay, I need to break their will. Son, you are not king of this house. You are not in charge. I am. I mean, just like, calm, right? But at the same time, right, I must not break their spirit. I must break their will, mom and dad, but I must not break their spirit. And how easily we go from one line and cross it over again into the other as well. We must not let our children run our lives or run our house. There's a will that needs to be broken, but there's a heart that needs to be loved. And it takes a lot of wisdom to do that. But something that I think about a lot and still to this day in some of the kind of situations that I will encounter, Jill and I again, as parents. How do we break the will, not the spirit? Well, one, you got to stay calm. You got to be clear, very clear what you're saying. And very clear again, whose will needs to be obeyed. There must be conviction. Calm, clear, there must be tremendous conviction as a parent. Why am I doing this and where am I going? You must correct, dads. You must correct your child. We'll come into that in more detail in just a second. You must correct them. You must show them the pathway of the Lord. And listen, be sure of this too. This is not the easy thing to do. It comes with a cost. It comes with a cost. It's tiring. It can be exhausting. It takes effort. But it will produce fruit, right? Fathers, do not exasperate your children, which leads us into the second subpoint. Fathers, discipline your children. Discipline your children, right there in verse 4, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. What's inherent in verse 4 is the father has an essential role in exhorting, admonishing, correcting, and counseling behavior in the child. Dads, I need to say that again. The father has an essential role in exhorting, admonishing, correcting, and counseling the behavior of the child. Dads, if you're working 8 hours a week, that's hard to do. If you're constantly gone and not around pursuing whatever it is, and I know there's some situations that are really tough. I want to give grace to that as well. But the reality is, this is one of the most important roles we have in life. And anything that's getting in the way of that, we have to look at our lives and say, is it worth it? That's a tough thing, right? That's a tough thing, and yet I don't apologize for saying that out loud. It's very important for us to understand how the Lord desires to live and move again in our lives as well. The importance of being present, to be engaged, to be loving, to be guiding, to be disciplining, to be instructing, to be exhorting, to be admonishing, to be correcting, to again, be encouraging. We gotta be there to do that. What's also implied in this, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, what's implied there is the child will at times offer resistance to such leadership. That's not a surprise. The child will offer resistance, and that's why, again, an engaged father is so necessary, involved in the strong guidance of the child's behavior. I want you to look at Proverbs 13, verse 24 on the screen here. Proverbs 13, 24, look at this. Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. There's many verses associated with such truth. The parents who fail to discipline their children don't love their children. Just saying. The parents who let the children run the house, you're not loving them. You're not loving them. You're hating them. The father who fails to discipline his child is not loving him. The father who is disciplining his child is loving him. Again, so clear. Book of Hebrews, as a father disciplines his son, so again, God disciplines us, because that's what love does. Discipline is so important. This is where we must be led by scripture, not by worldly ideas. For example, a lot of different parenting philosophies out there. Let's just take one in the recent months. I don't know a ton about it, but I know enough to comment a little bit on as well. There's this parenting philosophy right now called gentle parenting. Ooh, I just touched some nerves, I think. I'm not sure, just ever. But I'm willing to go in. I'm willing to go in. Let me just say this, from what I understand, there are some great points of gentle parenting. There are some great points of wisdom, like self-awareness for the child. Self-awareness is very powerful, understanding what's going on. There is the approach of being calm, very biblical. We talked about that, being kind, very biblical, good. Emphasizing relationship with the child. Yes, I'm big on that as well. Again, as long as it's not like we're just friends, let's hang out, bro, okay? So, but the biggest problem biblically with something like gentle parenting, as I've looked into it and I understand, the biggest problem with gentle parenting, it doesn't actually address the root of sin. It doesn't actually address the root problem of the heart of the child. See, and parents, if we don't address the root, which is the problem of sin in the heart of the child, then we'll never ultimately change the fruit, right? This is why, too, this is so important. The kids that are in Christian homes, and they are within a kind of fenced-in structure of behavior modification rules. And those can be helpful in different ways, but the child's there and they're there in grade 5 and they're in grade 10 and then they graduate in grade 12 and they've kind of been in this context of, and they go off to university and they leave the faith. Listen, they didn't leave the faith. They never had the faith. Like, this is what you have to understand theologically. They didn't leave the faith. They never had faith. They had this behavior. We heard the baptism today. We heard it. I could say the right things. I did Christian things. I was doing Christian words. I was attending Christian schools, whatever, but my heart wasn't changed. And see, parents, in their lack of wisdom, they treat a child who has learned the language and to walk a path in a certain way, and they say, oh, they're saved. But there's been no heart change. We gotta be smarter than that. Anyone can play the game. But again, parents, if we want behavior so people will think we're great parents, we're not great parents. If we're trying to please others, oh, look at their kids, and they don't have a heart that can, that's foolish parenting. Wise parenting says, if we don't get the heart, what's the point? Yes, I understand. Again, practical things and moving, and we can't change it. But again, continually praying and begging and pleading. That, as we said last week, your child's problem is not behavioral. Ultimately, your child's problem is their heart. It's the heart of sin. When the heart is changed and the sin is forgiven, everything starts to change at that point as well. Everything starts to change. That's why we ultimately beg the Lord to, you know, like Jill and I, some of our most powerful moments, and Jill has been very helpful for me over the years too, and she brings a lot of wisdom and things that she's learned, and she's shared them with me and over the years on powerful moments. And when we're disciplining our children, it's easy just to go in and just to discipline. And by the way, parents, again, to discipline your children, you have to hit them where it hurts, meaning like the things that are most important to them. You have to go, you can't just be things they don't care about. It has to be things that really feels for them that this is coming with consequences and there's a cost here. So, to sit down with our kids over the years and sit down, kids are young, whatever it is, and say, before this happens, do you understand why dad is doing this? Son, do you believe dad is loving you right now as he disciplines you? Son, do you believe that if dad didn't care, then he wouldn't discipline? If I didn't love you, I'd let you do whatever you wanted. And you go do whatever you want, and dad believes by the Bible, by the gospel, that if I let you do whatever you want, that's hating you. Son, do you believe dad is loving you right now? Son, do you understand that the Lord disciplines us because that's how he gets our attention to show us what is right and wrong? Do you understand that's how this works? Son, daughter, do you understand too that your problem ultimately is not behavior rooted? Your problem ultimately is your sin. Son, do you understand? You can't change your sin. You need Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, I can't change your sin, son. Jesus Christ is the only one who can change you from the inside out. If you truly want to see the evil within rooted out and destroyed, you need Jesus Christ. Now, Son, do you believe dad is loving you right now as he disciplines you? It's the most powerful moments we've ever had in parenting. Let me say this to you, okay? Like it is, that takes a lot of energy. It is so much easier to do something else. And I've been so tempted and so many times, like, just get to the result. But in that moment, to sit down, like the gospel and just the power and the child looking at you and the seriousness and the moment, and he realizes that this is love. It's a whole new level, and gentle parenting does not deal with that. It doesn't. And for Jill and I, again, and we have had so much help from so many mentors over the years. That's another thing to do. Surround yourself with godly parent mentors. We still get so much advice from parents and people that we love and respect, and constantly asking and seeking again advice as our kids say all the time. All the time. So much we don't know. The moments of power of disciplining and why at the end of the day, a gospel issue. Kids remember. Lastly, quickly, fathers instruct your children. Really quickly here. This stresses the education of the child. Fathers, we are ultimately responsible for the spiritual education of our children. Hey, you can't pass this off to other people. Don't do it. You can't surrender this to other people. This is the call for us to influence our children, to teach them towards the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, to guide them. We are responsible for doing so. We are responsible. Let me just end with grace here. Let me end with grace, okay? A lot here today. It's important today, though, too. It's not too late. Hey, men, I've made so many mistakes over the years. Again, I said last week, and I mean it, I'm more aware of my failures than my successes as a parent. And that is not false humility. It's just true. It's true. I'm far more aware of my failures than any successes. And it's so easy to beat yourself up so much. But the Lord loves you. The Lord loves you. The Lord forgives you. The Lord graces you. The Lord is with you. The Lord strengthens you. The Lord is giving you wisdom today. And the Lord wants to help you. So we got to let him. We got to let him. Why? That his blessing might come upon our homes. Fathers, father types, the impact of us impacting the next generation. Fathers, father types, wow. Lord, use our lives for what matters most. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. A lot here today, Lord, and I pray that you are taking this truth and you are surgically applying and you are transforming at this moment. Please, Lord, would you make us men and women of wisdom, children who obey and honor. Why? Because in the Lord it's right. Fathers who discipline and instruct our children for the glory of God. Yes, Lord, the health of a family ultimately is the health of a nation. So may this representation be used in powerful ways. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, if you're looking for more Bible teaching, we have many of Pastor Robbie's previous Live in the Light messages available for you to listen to at any time on our website, liveinthelight.ca. We also have our daily program in podcast form, so you can listen easily on the go or hanging out at home. If you have any questions about who we are or want to share a story about what God is doing in your life, we would love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT or use the contact page on our website. Catch you next time here at Live in the Light.